Now, is this the message you want me to preach tomorrow? Is this the one, dear Lord, that you've selected? Is this the need of our church in the morning? And the Holy Spirit said to me, preach on the grace of God. So, here I am. I'm going to read you the scripture, and then we'll just take it from there. And we know that when we're led by the Lord, everything's going to fall in its place. St. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If I didn't do anything but read this beautiful, powerful scripture in your presence this morning, that would be message enough. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Praise God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. My, what a message. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will, not of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he cometh after me, is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now the Lord Jesus came to reveal the grace of God. That's what I just read unto you here in St. John chapter 1, that Jesus Christ came, and that to reveal the grace of God to lost humanity. And in the precious book of St. Luke chapter 15, he gave us a beautiful story representing the whole human race and the grace of God together. I thank God for this beautiful story. He said a man had two sons, and the youngest of them took all of his inheritance and went on a journey to a far country and wasted his substance with righteous living. I think all of us here this morning can identify with this young man, because all of us have wasted a portion of our lives living carefree all the things that are right and are holy. I think we've all had those days in our lives. I spent 19 years of my life unconcerned and unmindful and uncaring about the things that were right and the things that were holy. I'm sure that many of you here today, my dear friends, could affiliate with this young man, realizing, my friends, today that you have wasted many, many years of your life carefree of the things that are right and the things that are good and the things that are according unto the principle of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I feel today how that most have wasted how much of their substance on the lust of the flesh, while our soul starves, groaning, dying for the right relationship with our Heavenly Father. My, how much of our lives have we wasted? How much of our hard-earned money in this world have we wasted upon the lust of our flesh, when our soul is starving and groaning and dying for the right relationship with our Heavenly Father? Now this young man, the Bible said, he became in want and in need when he took his journey and went to a far country. He became in want and he became in need, both physically and spiritually. And you know, today, that's what I find in most people's life. They have a want and they have a need that cannot be satisfied with the things that they're doing and the kind of life that they're living. Many are hungry and thirsty, but they're never filled. And deep within their soul, they are troubled on every side. They're like the sea. They can't be still. Their mind and their soul rolls and turns all the time. They're tossed between the need of their soul and the lust of their flesh. My friends, today, everybody I meet, their life is in an uproar. They're rolling like the sea. The sea has never come. My friend, is churning and rolling all the time. And the Bible said, the wicked was like the sea. They cannot be content. They cannot be still. They cannot be satisfied. They cannot be helped in anything that they do. Oh, listen, they can't be content anywhere they are or with anybody they're with. Oh, how sad it is this morning, my friend, to be so restless in this world today, just reaching from one thing, running to another, continually all the time, trying to satisfy the lust of the flesh, when the soul is dying and starving to death for the right relationship with our God. So people today, they can't be content in home. They can't be content on the job. They can't be content in the church. They can't be content no matter where that they are. It doesn't matter where they go. They could go to Hawaii on a vacation. They, in a couple of days, they wouldn't be content. Their life, that turmoil that they're living with inside their heart and their life, would soon rise up and destroy any privilege or any pleasure that they might receive or get out of life. Oh, it's so sad. Yet I'm sure that I'm looking in the faces today that you're not fully satisfied with God. You're not fully satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not satisfied with what He done on the cross. You're not satisfied with His soul's salvation. Because if you were, you would make the most of it, and you'd be better in what you try to do. And that for God, oh, my friend, let me tell you, your heart will follow the thing that you love the very most. Oh, listen, friend, if you love the creation more than you love the Creator, your heart will follow the creation. If you love pleasure more than you love God, your heart will follow the pleasures to the satisfaction of your flesh. Whatever you love the most, that's the direction your heart will lean, and your heart will reach out for the most, the most, the most. Oh, listen, my dear friends, today. Oh, troubled soul. Oh, troubled heart. Oh, troubled mind. I hope today that I can speak to you through the power of God and help you how to find peace that surpasses all understanding, and find the joy that goes beyond any good time that I've ever had in this life. A joy that reaches deeper into my soul and comforts me in every hour and every moment of my life. I hope that I can help somebody here today find that joy. Now the Bible said that this man, the next thing he done when he lost all of his money, when he got down in want and he got down in need, he joined himself to a citizen of that land. Men, women, boys, and girls, you must be careful of the friends that you have in this life. Oh, let me tell you, let me say that again. You've got to be careful of the friends that you associate with, my dear friends, in this life. One of King David's sons was in love with a beautiful girl, and he hoped someday that she could be his wife. But oh, one day he violently raped her and destroyed any hope that he ever had that this woman would ever love him and become his wife. Why did he do that? The Bible said he had a friend that encouraged him to do this wicked and this awful thing. So you see, the friends that we associate with, my dear friends, make a difference in the things that we do in this life. The people that we run with, the people that we join ourselves with, they will make a difference in the way that you live your life for Jesus Christ. They will entice you into the world. This young man's friend has sent him to the hog pen to feed the swine. Now here was a Christian boy, a fine, upright young man at one time that had got down in the depths of sin and was wallowing in sin's row. He joined himself to a citizen of that land. He made a friend with the wrong relationship, and this friend sent him down out of the hog pen to feed the swine. How did you know how that it pleases a worldly person to see a Christian man, woman, boy, or girl fall? I want you to know, if you give them a chance, it doesn't matter how good a friend you may think they are, if you give them a chance, they'll even put you into the hog pen.
Amen.
Yes, my dear friends, they certainly will. They'll do that. So we've got to be careful of the friends that we make in this life. You know, a Christian should not befriend people and become close bosom buddies and friends with people who are worldly and carnally minded. You say, preacher, well, I might win them to Christ. No, 9 times out of 10, it's the other way. They'll pull you away from Christ. Listen, my friend, bad counsel from friends has sent many people down into destruction. Bad advice from your friends will simply destroy your life. Now, here comes the good part. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't end this story here with this boy in the hog pen eating the husk that the hogs did eat? Aren't you glad this story didn't end here with this young man still in the hog pen? Aren't you glad I don't have to stand here today and tell you that how this young man died in the hog pen and the hogs eat his flesh? Aren't you glad I don't have to tell you that? Well, you know why that didn't happen? Do you know why that didn't happen? Because Jesus didn't leave this young man in the hog pen.
Amen.
It happened because of the grace of God. It was the grace of God that kept this young man from dying in the hog pen and being food for the hogs that he was feeding. Listen, I'm glad that Jesus didn't leave him there. Jesus said one day, this young man came to himself. He saw how he was hurting himself and the people that really loved him. You see, my dear friends, I hope that I can arouse your mind today, this morning, to see yourself as you really are. To see yourself ahead of the direction that your life may be heading in and going in the day. But this young man, Jesus said, he came to himself and he saw himself from what he really was. And he said, I will arise and I will go to my father. I'm not worthy to be his son any longer. And I'm going to tell him that. That's what he said. I'm not worthy to be his son any longer. And I'm going to tell him that. He said, I'm sinful and ashamed, but my Father is my only hope. I'll tell you today, my friends, if you're sinful and if you're ashamed, then if you're out of the will of God and you're out of God's sweet fellowship, let me tell you, your Heavenly Father is your only hope. There's no hope for you in this world. There's no joy, no peace in this world for you, my dear friend. Your only hope, your greatest hope, and your greatest need is our Heavenly Father, and that this morning. Listen, Jesus didn't leave this young man in the hog pen. Oh, when that woman lost that precious piece of silver in her house, you remember that also in Luke 15. That silver, when she dropped it, it began rolling across the floor. Well, this woman wasn't a very tidy housekeeper. She'd let her floors get nasty, and there was junk, and there was trash all over her floor. And somewhere down at the bottom of all of this trash, there was a precious piece of silver that she valued in her life. And Jesus said that she looked and she couldn't find it. Then she lit a light. And she set that light down and she began to sweep that house. And she began to filter that dirt and filter that nastiness in the house until she found that piece of silver. No, Jesus didn't leave that silver lost in the dirt and the corruption of the sin. But he lit a light and he searched for it until he found it. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the grace of God. Are you lost among the filth of this world? Are you lost among a carnal mind? Are you lost among carnal thoughts? Are you lost among the filth of the lust of the flesh? Jesus is looking for you with his great light this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Then he told us another story in Luke 15. He told us about the man who had 100 sheep. And one evening he brought them home and he counted heads. You see, the Lord counts heads. He keeps a record of me and you. He's got it upon his record book in glory. And not only that, he's got them in his supreme mind. He knows how many saved there is in this world today, and he knows them all by name. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus knows us all because he is God and he is able to know us and know where we're at and what we're doing all the time. But he counted heads and one was missing. And the Bible said he went out into the hills and the mountains, left the 99 to search for that one that was lost. And when he had found his sheep, he gently picked it up. He laid it upon his shoulder, and he brought it back to the fold. Hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad this morning? Jesus didn't look at that 99 and say, well, I've got enough. That fella can get out there and make it on his own. If he can make it all right, if he don't, all right. 99's enough for me to have to work and look after and take care of anyway. Wish I could lose a few more of them. That's the attitude a lot of people have in this world today. Got too much to do. Got too much going, too much to do. But when the Lord found the sheep, he laid him on his shoulder. He searched till he found him. And he brought him back, and that unto the fold. This young man was filthy inside and out. His soul was stained crimson from the sin that the world had poured in him. But he headed home. Ashamed, yes he was. Had to lay down his pride, yes he did. You know, that's what most people have trouble with, just laying down their pride. They're afraid to get up in a service like this and come to the altar, afraid of what their friends might think about them. Well, if your friend isn't the kind of friend that would think good of you, he or she is the kind of friend you oughtn't to have. Glory! Amen, brother. If your friend wouldn't think good of you because you wanted to be a better boy, a better girl, better man, or better woman, then that's the kind of friend you ought to leave right now. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? He was filthy. His soul was stained crimson. But he came home. And when he got home, the first thing he saw, what was it he saw? His father out waiting on him with his arms open to receive him. You see, this is the way God receives us when we come to him. People are afraid to come to God. Afraid to seek God. But God welcomes us with open arms. As this father opened up his arms and he embraced that little old nasty, dirty boy that smelled of the hog pen, filthy inside and out. There was love and grace and mercy pouring out of this father's heart. All the love the Father had just poured out. All the grace he had just poured out. And that young boy saw that the heart he had grieved when he left. Had been healed by his return. My dear friends, this morning, I really believe that somebody here is really grieving the heart of God. You're grieving God's heart because you're his child. You belong to him and you're more wrapped up in the world than you are God. You're more wrapped up in the pleasures of life than you are the Lord God Almighty. And you're grieving the very heart of God. You care more about the things that you want to do to fulfill the lusts of your flesh. A lot of people affiliate that with sex. Well, that's just one of the lusts of flesh. My goodness, we can get wrapped up into anything that takes our time away from the church and away from God and away from his word and away from prayer and away from the fellowship of God's house and God's people. We can get so wrapped up in our work or our job, or we can get wrapped up in trying to have a good time and or whatever we might be doing, and it all boils down to the lust, the satisfaction of the flesh. See, my dear friends, today we're grieving the heart of God. God stands with open arms this morning.